Welcome to the Dare to Multiply podcast. On this podcast, we help passionate Jesus followers become courageous, obedient disciples who impact their communities for the kingdom of God. I'm your host, Cynthia Anderson, a disciple multiplication coach and trainer. I'm going to show you how to make and multiply disciples in your area. God's got great things ahead for you. Let's dare to multiply. Which leadership style is more biblical? Authoritarian, hierarchical, egalitarian, individualistic? This is a big question as we work in other cultures, especially for those of you listening to this podcast who work cross-culturally. And we have a question today in from a young man named Caleb who's working in an Asian culture. And we're going to talk about the leadership style of Jesus and how that relates to making disciples, disciple-making in a group, and especially to younger people influencing those who are older than them. So we'll be right back with that in just a moment.
Are you busy but not seeing the fruit you long for? Dissatisfied with your present level of impact on those around you, or frustrated with traditional methods of discipleship that don't seem to be effective? If so, the Getting Started in Disciple Making Movements course may be just what you need. Inside the Getting Started program, you'll get access to a step-by-step proven approach to making and multiplying disciples. Not only will you receive 25 short and practical video teachings spread out over 6 modules, but you'll have a chance to connect with others for group coaching via our monthly Zoom calls. And even more importantly, you'll become part of a global community of like-minded people from all over the world who are passionately committed to following Jesus and impacting others around them. If you want to get unstuck and begin moving forward as a disciple who makes disciples, I encourage you to go to courses.dmmsfrontiermissions.com. and sign up for this powerful program today. And now to today's episode.
All right, so let's talk about this. How do we make disciples in a culture like in Asia that's very hierarchical, where there's a high honor that's given to people who are older, who have higher status in the society, and maybe those who are coming to Christ and who are making disciples of others are of lower status, or maybe are younger than the people that they are working to reach. Maybe they're working to reach their parents or aunties and uncles. And here's the question. Let me just actually read it that came in. Can someone younger or lower of status disciple or speak into the life of someone older? This is what Caleb, working in Asia, asked. And then he asked another question, which is related to that. He said, do you think the area of hierarchy is one of those things that simply doesn't align with God's kingdom values? I want to be careful not to disciple people from out of my own worldview. And first of all, I would just say to Caleb and anyone else who shares that sentiment that we want to be careful not to bring our own cultural worldview when we are discipling people of another culture. I commend you for that. That is absolutely right. We need to be so careful. We have many, many ways that we see life and do life that we think are biblical, but they're actually cultural and that we have brought from our own context. And so we want to be really careful about that. I hear that caution in you and your team, and I really commend you for that. Well, in talking about this, as I was thinking and praying about it, it came to my mind a book that I had read when I was studying at Fuller Seminary. It was written by a man named Sherwood Lingenfelter, and I recommend it to you and to others who are trying to sort out these issues of hierarchical and authoritarian cultures and making disciples in them, especially if you're not from that kind of a culture yourself. It's called Transforming Culture by Sherwood Lingenfelter. And when I read it, it gave me such a helpful paradigm and framework from which to deal with this kind of an issue, and really brought insights to me. So I want to share just briefly his sort of structure. But again, if you'd like to dive in deeper, I recommend his book. I think it's still out there available. It's a little bit of an older book, but Transforming Culture by Sherwood Lingenfelter. If not, I know you can at least see portions of it on Google Books and things like that. So what he does is he makes a grid right? And he talks about the grid of leadership structures. And on one corner of the grid, things that are high structure would be authoritarian. And then on the other side, which is also high structure, would be hierarchical. So you have authoritarian cultures, you have hierarchical cultures, and then low grid but high group, you would have individualistic cultures and egalitarian. Does that make sense? So you've got a grid. On the top left is authoritarian, top right, hierarchical. You can kind of draw this grid out if it helps you. And then on the bottom part of the grid, you have individualistic and egalitarian. So on the right side is high group, and on the left side is high grid. Right. So again, without going into a lengthy explanation of this, I think what I really saw when I went through that book was that all of these cultures are represented in the Bible, right? None of them is a kingdom culture. And we often tend to look at our own culture as being more kingdom-like than the other cultures, than the other natural leadership structures that exist within culture. So you could look in the Bible and you could see different examples of all of them. And Jesus and his leadership style is none of these, but he's kind of right in the middle, in the center of that grid. And he, you know, there's times when he operates in a way that's more authoritarian. He is the King of Kings. In a culture with a king, it is authoritarian. One leader makes all the decisions, has all the rights in the culture, right, to make decisions for the culture, for the government structure. One day we will have a king, a theocracy, and that would be high authoritarian, right? You see hierarchical structures in the Bible as well, and where there's those who have authority and status over others. We see that in the Old Testament represented. We see the culture of the Jews in some ways was hierarchical. Today, you would look at Korea and Japan as places that are very hierarchist, where even being a few months older means you bow lower, right? In Korean culture or Japanese culture. So you see that. And then you see, for example, highly individualistic culture, which would be American or Australian, high value and virtue on the individual. Again, Jesus wasn't an individualist, but there were times when he really valued the individual. So you see that in the Bible as well. And then you see egalitarian cultures, which would be more like those in Norway or Iceland or Denmark. Very, you know, everyone is on an equal plane. Don't stand out above the rest. And you see ways where Jesus was egalitarian as well, in valuing everyone equally and treating people equally. And the priesthood of all believers could be said to be more egalitarian in nature. So you see all of these expressions, and I hope I'm making sense and not getting too technical here for those of you who are listening. You see all of these expressions in Scripture. You see all of these expressions in the world today, and we know that God, you know, God's in them, but they need to be redeemed, and they all need to adjust and adapt to fit who Jesus is as a servant leader and as the King of Kings and who he is. So what I want to say to you is just recognize when your own culture is influencing the way you're thinking, and recognize that none of these cultures are anti-biblical, nor are they, you know, fully biblical, I think. And so getting back to your question, Caleb, about someone who's younger or of lower status, discipling or speaking into the life of those who are older, I think, you know, again, we want to go to Scripture. And Jesus lived in a culture, the Jewish culture, and Paul discipled in cultures that were Greek. And he addressed these same exact kinds of issues that you're facing there with these questions. And we know that in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul speaks to his disciple Timothy and he says, "Let no one despise your youth," right? but set an example for them in good behavior and in godliness and character. So I think that's something that, you know, relates very much to this question of when young people are discipling in any culture, those who are older than them, but especially in an Asian culture, they shouldn't feel like they can't. They should be empowered that they have the Holy Spirit in them. They can make disciples of those who are older, but they need to do it through godly character and godly example and living a life that is admirable by those who are older than them. And as Paul admonished Timothy. And then we see in 1 Timothy 5:1-3, Paul exhorts Timothy, don't rebuke an older man, but don't rebuke him harshly, especially, but exhort him as if he were your father. And in most Asian cultures, there is a place for younger children who are adults, you know, not necessarily teenagers, but those who are young adults, to exhort and even bring advice into their parents' lives, but to do it honorably and to do it with respect and to do it as a way of saying, this is a better way that I'm learning, you know? So there is space and room that can be found in Asian culture for advice and input to flow upward in a hierarchical structure. But it has to be done with honor and with respect and through a lifestyle change that is noticed and embraced. And I think, you know, telling your parents they're wrong, which is something that is common in American culture, is, you know, I'm not saying it's good, but it's common, is not the way that you would do that in an Asian culture, no matter whether you're Christian or not, right? It's just not done. And so respect that you see there and the honor that you see there is actually a biblical value that you want to uphold and you want to honor. And, you know, one of my friends from Asia went to the U.S. and I asked him, what is the biggest culture shock you had coming to America? And they said, the disrespect of young people for their parents was shocking to me. And I was so turned off by that. The level of disrespect. And again, that comes from our highly individualistic culture, the freedom that we feel to speak our mind, the value we give to being your own person, you know, all of those things are not biblical values necessarily. They're not all bad, but they're not necessarily biblical values. So we need to be really careful, as you said, to not bring our culture in this highly individualistic or egalitarian culture, if it's European, but to honor the culture that's there and see what parts of it are biblical and how does that apply to how we make disciples. Again, in Asian culture, they are so much closer than Westerners are in a natural adherence to the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother. That's an area in our culture that in discipleship with Americans and Westerners needs to be addressed. Are we honoring our parents in the way the Bible says that we should? Or are we allowing our cultural, values to affect the way we obey that clear command of God in Scripture? So again, I would just say that absolutely young people can disciple those who are older than them. Certainly, we also see the example in Scripture of slaves like Philemon, Paul, you know, advocated for and said, listen to him. He is a disciple of Jesus. He is somebody worth listening to, worth receiving back into your household. He was of far lower status, but we see this, sort of advocating for him by Paul. And that's another little hint, you know. Sometimes the way it works culturally, you can't advocate for yourself, but somebody who is of equal status or equal age can commend someone to them as someone to speak into their lives. That's what Paul did with Timothy or with Philemon. He commended them to these people who respected him because of his status as a rabbi and a teacher and apostle, a leader in the church. And he would speak for them and advocate for them And then that would open doors for them to be able to disciple. So all of those different things come into play. I don't know if this was helpful to you or to the others who are listening, but I would just say, culture is a huge issue. And we need God's help to be aware of what cultural things we are importing unknowingly. And as we study scripture, as we study the cultures that God's called us to work among, to see that there are values in them that God has placed there that are beautiful, that we can learn from. But there are things that also do need to be addressed. Of course, anything having to do with idolatry or against the clear commands of scripture, we need to take a stance against. But issues like this in discipling people that have to do with hierarchy or cultural things like what we've been talking about, we need to tread lightly, stick with scripture, and then let them be the ones who interpret how it gets applied. And that's another thing that I would just close with is, as an outsider, that's where Discovery Bible Study is so beautiful, is the scripture speaks to people in their own context uniquely, and they hear from God through scripture, and the things that they see in it will be different from what you have because they're looking through a different cultural grid. And the Holy Spirit is really good at making things contextual for people and convicting people where they need to be convicted. You just keep praying for them and praying that God will help them to understand where they maybe are out of alignment. But keep plugging forward, and I know God's going to help you in this, Caleb and team, and anyone else who's listening to this who's struggling with how scripture and how to deal with these hierarchical structures in disciple making, in really applying the priesthood of all believers. I know the Lord's going to lead you. Feel free to reach out if I haven't answered your question or you have further questions about this, and I'd be happy to address it on a future podcast or a Q&A, live Q&A. God bless. Have a wonderful week. I'll be right back in a minute with a recap.
Imagine a world where passionate followers of Jesus come together to multiply, transforming lives beyond imagination. Instead of toiling with little fruit, what if God's abundance flowed beyond your wildest dreams? Picture those you've invested in sharing Jesus freely, creating a ripple effect of disciple-making. In her new book, The Multiplier's Mindset, Cynthia Anderson reveals how shifting mindsets can revolutionize disciple-making. When Cynthia and her colleagues experienced these mindset shifts, they saw enormous results, including the launching of 19 multiplying movements in Africa and Asia, transforming tens of thousands of lives. This book will help you discover hidden harvesters, see church members move from passivity to passion, and release the power of simplicity in multiplying disciples. Don't remain stuck. Learn to move toward greater fruitfulness. Visit multipliersmindset.com and get your copy of The Multipliers Mindset today.
All right. Well, let me come back with a couple quick takeaways. One is that all four cultural leadership structures, authoritarian, hierarchical, individualist, and egalitarian, all have scriptural examples. None of them are more quote-unquote biblical than the others, but Jesus transcended those, and he was kind of right in the middle. He operated in all four of those at different times. So he's our example, and we want to move to the center and become more like him. Be wary of importing or imposing your own cultural values on others, and look to scripture, particularly to the passages in Timothy. We mentioned 1 Timothy 4:12, 1 Timothy 5:13, where Paul exhorted Timothy to not despise his youth, but also not to speak harshly in correction of those who are older than him, staying within his cultural honor shame culture and honoring those, as the Bible said, who are older than him. These Asian cultures have so many beautiful things that are biblical in them. Keep those, maintain those, celebrate those, and let being in Asia or being among Asians help you reflect, if you're a Westerner or from another culture, on your own culture and how can you grow? What can be highlighted that God wants to show you? Lastly, let the local insiders interpret scripture and let the Holy Spirit convict through Scripture. You don't need to, as an outsider, make the decisions for them. Let Scripture speak to them, and try to avoid getting in the middle of that and being the interpreter of those passages for them. Let God speak to them through His Word and bring correction to cultural change through Scripture and through those biblical stories in His own way. So again, as a takeaway and action step, which I always like to leave you with, think about how culture and how cultural structures of leadership might be influencing your disciple making. How is it influencing it? How are you following biblical structures? Or how are you maybe influenced by your culture in the way you're making disciples? And think about the young people in your group and how you can make more space for them to be elevated. Maybe you can commend a young person to somebody else and be that sort of voice for them to make space for them to bring what they have to bring to the table as a disciple who's following Jesus, particularly those young people who are really going after the Lord and in their character, as Timothy was exhorted by Paul, really giving a model. Elevate them, champion them, and show yourself to be a learner from them as well. And I think that'll go a long way as we move forward in seeing disciples make disciples at all ages. Even children can be models of prayerfulness and models of genuineness. And what can we learn from younger people in our midst? And how can you highlight that even this week in your discovery group or in your disciple making? God bless you guys. I'll see you back next week. Have a wonderful week making disciples for Jesus. Bye for now.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Dare to Multiply podcast. One thing that would really help both us and other new potential listeners is for you to rate this show and leave a comment in iTunes, on Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you tune in to listen. Also, make sure to link up with us at dmmsfrontiermissions.com/blog, on social media, and please just share this podcast with anyone you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember, God's dreams for us are always bigger than we can imagine.